We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Third hour. What up? Tiki and Tierney here. CBS Sports Radio coming in from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. This is going to be pretty much the NBA on TNT segment. We got a lot to extrapolate from last night. Last night was a pretty interesting night on the set for the boys and lady on the great show. By the way, it was not the show that we usually reference with, of course, Charles and Kenny and Shaq. It was Shaq, Lefko, Candace Parker, who's terrific, and Dwayne Wade. All right, so this got ugly. Like this was ugly for Shaquille O'Neal. This was a bad look for our guy. We are both Shaquille O'Neal fans, even though, you know, he's a mooch or he's a welch with the bets. Like he lost a bet years ago on this show, came in studio. It's on the internet. Find it. Said Dallas Cowboy was going to win the Super Bowl. We clipped it. We put it out there. We made a bet. We said, all right, he doubled down. He said flat. It is very easy to find. If the Dallas Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl, I will walk up and down the avenue. It's been so long since we've been down the studio. I'm not even sure what street. I forgot. But Lower Manhattan, where our studio is. And he said he would do so with a thong, which we definitely don't need to see. But then I implored him to hold the Tiki and Tierney sign, and he said he would do that. Went dark, ghosted us, so he never paid up his bet. But even aside from that, we are still monstrous Shaquille O'Neal fans, because he's got a great heart, and, you know, he's one of the gentle giants until you tick him off in sporting history. Love the guy. But he's getting lazy. It's getting lazy. Or at least, you know, unless it's an act, which I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So yeah. About a week ago.
I think it's an act, by the way.
Well, that's not a good act. If you want longevity in the business, which he doesn't need because he's got probably a gazillion dollars in the bank, but if he really wants to do this for a long time, you know, I think Shaq's got to be a little careful here, because I guess it was a week and a half or so ago, you and I talked about, I remember seeing the segment live, and they called it, you know, what's so-and-so's name?
Yeah.
And then Kenny Smith said that they should call it, you know, what's your mama name you? Like, they were having fun. They were being themselves. And it was great. Basically, the premise of the game was they asked Shaq five players, three of whom everybody that watches the NBA would know, and he had to identify their first name. He was told the last name and the team that they're on. He knew none of them, 0-for-5. All right, you get a hearty laugh. Great. Okay. Then last night, they're talking about the pick and roll and the modern NBA. And we got into this exchange, and Shaq looked bad. Listen to this.
I think you switch at the point of pick and roll, but, like, the NBA switches now, right? So
why?
Because everybody can shoot threes.
Whatever happened to man up?
Because you're going to be manning up, trying to recover back to your man, and they're going to hit a three just like Jokic did.
No, but whatever happened to pre-rotating and making
it? Then they move the ball around. And
you got 4 to 5 three-point shooters on the court. You ain't going to rotate enough time.
Not rotating. Not rotating.
Yeah, but you got to take the easy pass away. Like, if you ain't going to switch, you got to take the easy pass.
So that's what I'm saying.
Now you have guys that can throw the ball from one side of the court and find the guy in rhythm.
Okay. Are we ever going to go back to where we man up and pre-rotate and show and get back?
It's not the game today.
Okay.
Two good shooters.
All right. First of all, Candace Parker's 1,000% right. D-Wade was trying to ease the way his buddy Shaq was going to look. I think what's real, body language is important. I have no idea what the dynamic is of their relationship. What I will say, being, you know, fairly adept at reading body language, you watch Candace Parker during this segment, and I got the impression that, you know, if she didn't like him, she would have just throttled him, because you could kind of almost see her, like, because that's the way the NBA is. Like, it was such a rudimentary explanation of the way the game of defense pertaining to that aspect, the pick and roll, occurs in the modern NBA. She was confounded that Shaquille O'Neal did not grasp that.
Or
so was I.
Or Shaquille was just being
contrarian because Shaquille likes to be contrarian. I will say this. Right. And by the way, I know Adam Lefko pretty well. He does a lot of events for my company, Thuzio. So I reached out to him. I was like, please tell me Shaq was messing around here. And he's like, this is the reason that I love this crew, is because they approach basketball analysis different than most people would. They're going to just hammer you with X's and O's. Well, they rotate and shift and do this and blah, 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 blah. Like, the average fan just gets lost. And they're like, okay, did the ball go in the basket? You know what I mean? What am I seeing? Did the ball go in the basket? And I think Shaq has a unique skill of dumbing it down. Right. Hmm. I don't think he's a dumb person.
No,
at
he's
all.
Definitely.
I think he's brilliant. He's a genius. He's a marketing genius. And we know this from when he was playing.
Yep.
He was doing things that, like, every player wants to do now. Every athlete, influencer wants to do now. He was doing that stuff organically.
Rapping, movies.
Exactly.
Yep, no doubt.
Back
he
in
was
the,
in Blue Chips.
That's
he was
right.
in Shazam. He had sneakers.
Yeah.
He was rapping.
I think I
Jack
saw something Boone. Where he said, I forgot who the actor was. He was like, whoever it was wouldn't let me be in the movie until I won a championship. So I had to win a championship. and he got the movie. But, I mean, it created a crossover, right? He crosses over. Like, obviously he's enormous. I mean, he literally, when he came in the studio, BT's alluding to, where said the Cowboys are going to win. I've never seen someone have to, like, not just duck, like bend your head, but like mm-hmm. bend your knees
yes.
and like basically crawl through our door because he was so damn big.
He's
it was
a monster.
It was amazing. I was like, Jesus, I've never seen someone as large as Shaq.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I'd met him in person. So anyways, my point is, I think he's like, what he's mastered is the theatrics. Like, I felt like that segment was getting a little bit, like, heavy. Like, it was getting a little bit too X's
like
and O's.
Too nerdy?
Not nerdy.
Too basketball intensive?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a basketball show.
I agree. But that's not what Shaq does. Like, the show with Ernie and Kenny and Chuck.
Yeah.
It's so loose, man. They're just cracking on each other. And half of it is, it's not even about what's going on in the game until Kenny's like, oh, well, let me jump up on the board.
Oh, absolutely.
You.
No, right? I agree.
And so I think Shaq was trying to bring like that. Like, I'll be the whipping boy. Now explain this to me. That's what it felt like to me. And in talking to Lefko, that's kind of what I get from that.
Okay.
And so I read all the things that you read where people are crushing him. Shaq's got to get more up to date on modern basketball.
Well, that I think he does. He doesn't know names, dude.
Well, I know he doesn't, because I don't know if he watches the games.
But then he can't have that job.
But he's not an analyst. That's the thing. He's not an analyst. He's entertaining.
Wait, no,
he's,
hold on. Charles,
Shaq.
Without Charles, that show was not nearly as fun. Like, Shaq is not overtly funny.
I know.
Charles Barkley is.
I think it's very specific how they built that show. It is the comedian, right?
Yep.
And that's Charles.
Yep.
And then there's a straight man, and that's Shaq.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Kenny, who kind of
actually knows what the hell he's talking about,
but also who makes sure that there's sparks everywhere.
That's
he plays
right.
Both sides.
That's right.
No, you're gonna let him say that about you, Shaq?
Yeah.
Like
he's the
antagonist. He's the maestro on that show.
He's the antagonist, but he's also like the analyst. Like, he's
I love the show.
He's
and
the
I
one
love
that,
Shaq.
That gets involved in it. And so I think the chemistry between Dwayne Wade and Candace Parker and Shaq and Lefko, who's driving the ship there, is probably not as like tight.
It's totally different.
As the other show.
Oh, for sure.
But Shaq isn't gonna change who he is. He's Shaq, man.
But I'm not talking about I hear you. But I'm not talking about personality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about acknowledging an obvious facet of the game.
Yes.
Like, that would be like, I could only imagine, right?
Yeah.
Say, I love MLB Network. Mm-hmm. I love it.
But MLB Network kind of has to be
nerdy. See where I'm, no,
because,
I don't need nerdiness.
Because
no, no, no.
Baseball, I mean, think of how analytic baseball is. Like, if you just were talking about the action of baseball,
yeah,
like this you'd be bored out of your mind.
It would be a different show. Understood,
right?
It's
baseball,
different...
you have to use the analytics. You have to dive into the numbers and the exit velocities and
but that
know,
doesn't mean that you latch onto something antiquated. Let me give you my example that I was going to give you before. If I'm watching the MLB Network one night and mm-hmm. I've got a guy who just retired. Well, Shaq didn't just retire, but it's not like Shaq is up there and he's 67 years old.
He's not young.
Well, he's in his 40s. He's in his late 40s.
Yeah.
All right, maybe 50?
I don't even know, to be honest with you.
He's not 60.
He's funny. He's like defies age in a sense. I'm kidding.
Well, but, you know, so say there's a 48-year-old baseball player.
He's 48, by the way.
Hey, all right, there you go. He's 48 years old. Say there's a 48-year-old baseball player who is on the set of MLB Network, and they're doing the same show. Granted, it's not as many yucks and it's not as funny, but they're having fun. But now they get away from the fun and they're talking philosophy. And you got the 48-year-old analyst talking about, like, and at least projecting seriousness. Whether or not he's serious, that's kind of your job. But
I don't think Shaq was being serious.
Well, then that's not a good look, because people want to know kind of what's going on. And
that's what they have Candace Parker for.
Okay, okay. But if the 48-year-old baseball analyst is sitting there saying, you know, I think we really need to bunt a couple times a game. Like, it's such a there's so much removal from defending the pick and roll the way Shaq wants it, or at least espoused on the air, lamenting for what was, that it's embarrassing.
I don't think it's embarrassing.
I thought Shaquille O'Neal last night, and I'm going to say this a million times in case this gets to him, and I mean this, I love the guy, but I thought that Shaq looked out of touch last night. That's just my opinion.
I think he intentionally was being a contrarian. Okay. That's what I think. That's how I looked at it.
Fair enough.
And, you know, I found it interesting because
I didn't find that interesting at all.
I did, because by him being contrarian, it forced Candace Parker, who maybe, you know, played the incredulous card a little bit too heavy. And that's mainly because they don't have the relationship that Chuck and Shaq and Ernie and Kenny have. Yeah. But she played the incredulous card a little bit too heavy. Mm-hmm. So it made Shaq look bad. But I think Shaq is just being contrarian, which was interesting because it forced Candace Parker to actually really explain what she was talking about and dig into the details and the minutia of today's NBA. And when there was no really opinions about whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, but you had, you know, you had Shaq opining about, well, back in my day, which is great for sports talk radio. And
I love that's back kind, in my that's day.
It's kind, it of, it's kind of what they are doing on TV, which is unique because nobody does that on any other sporting show ever, which is, I don't know why, but they should. Football could do that all day, every day, but nobody does. Baseball probably couldn't because back in my day, they were doing steroids in 70 home runs. But I actually enjoyed it, and the uncomfortable nature of it didn't bother me because I know Shaq is that guy. Like, he'll handle it. You know what I mean? He's used to it.
Yeah, I guess. He didn't really say anything. He didn't defend himself. He just gave like five words, and thankfully Candace handled the segment.
Yep.
I mean, if you're telling me that Shaq is such a TV savant that in real time he's able to take one for the team betterment of his teammate, I would think that's a real
savant,
stretch
savant's,
myself.
Savant's probably a stretch.
Or whatever word you're looking for. You know what
I'm going to say he is a I don't give a you know what kind of guy.
Oh, okay, that I would agree with. But there's an expiration date to that. You didn't see that last night. You saw that this morning.
Yes,
people who were staying up late to watch that show don't want to have it dumbed down to the point where it's like, yo, I'm five chapters past this. Let's go. I watch the NBA every night. We know how they defend the pick and roll. Shaq, let's go. What are you doing to a Shaq? I mean, I'm saying like the viewers who are watching it in real time.
Yeah. I thought it was entertaining. And again, I didn't see it real time. Wasn't exhausted. Just want an explanation of what's happening on the court. And, you know, tell me Candace, tell me Dwayne, tell me Shaq.
She's good, man.
Oh, she's great.
Candace is razor sharp.
She's great.
She
sounds like a coach, man.
Yeah, she is so good. She's great on TV. What she, you know, I don't mean her look. I mean, her look too, but just her.
Yeah, her presence, understanding.
Is terrific.
Agreed.
And how she explains. D-Wade's good on TV as well. Until he fails to grasp my point. Now, this is something else about TNT last night. So they put my tweet up on the air, as they do a lot of times with usually tweets making fun of Charles and those guys. They screenshot my tweet. Here we are. So last night was Tuesday night. I tweeted something at 8:30 on Sunday about Bosch and Randall, and they're still talking about it. Now, I love it. Great. Just spell the name right. That's fine. All right. I want you to listen to this, and this is my only issue with Dwayne Wade, who I also like. But Dwayne, if you're going to say it's a dumb point, then you need to be smart enough, Dwayne Wade, to actually address what I wrote, because you didn't. Let's go.
Brandon Tierney, a radio host, asked this question. At his absolute apex, was Chris Bosh ever better than peak Julius Randle? The answer is no.
Stop it. I'm not going to even dignify that question with an answer. Stop it. Chris Bosh was the man. Cut it out.
You can call me biased. Chris Bosh do not get his just due, period. And when he was in Toronto, he did not get it. But here's the thing. I love Julius Randle. I'm a big fan of Julius Randle. When you go look at the numbers, the last 3 years, Julius Randle has been putting up Chris Bosh-like numbers. Chris Bosh did that for 5 years in Toronto, making an all-star game at 21 years old.
Stop it. You see what I mean? Right away. Now we get into the totality of Bosh's career. The bullet points. No. That was, Dwayne, that was never my point, man. I never once made a comparison to an 11-time All-Star, a two-time world champion, and a guy who got the most important offensive rebound in the history of the NBA, and a guy who should have been in the Hall of Fame last year and eventually will be, Chris Bosh. That's never what I wrote. What you decided to do on national TV, and I get it, he's your guy, and you know, you respond to things differently. I'm not trying to lecture you, but if you want to, and I want you to finish that because I want you to hear the dumb part at the end. That's the only thing that annoyed me. If you want to say that it's dumb or dumb, he didn't really call me dumb. But, you know, if you position something as dumb, it's only dumb when you put it in the context of how you see it. Not when you take it away from the context of what I actually wrote, then I can see why some would stretch it to be dumb. Keep going, D-Cell. Go ahead.
A guy in his 7 year in the NBA that's made one all-star team, that's really trying to build his career, that's unfair to him. And it's definitely unfair to Chris Bosh because he's one of our legends in our game. Just because he wasn't loud, just because he wasn't fancy, do not mean that he wasn't a great player. So that's a dumb question. Whoever asks that question, don't be dumb.
If Chris Bosh is a 10, Julius Randle is an 8. He's close. But Chris Bosh had a game. When he was in Toronto, he was the man. He put up a lot of numbers.
So I talked to Chris about this. And yeah. Chris is not the kind of person who cares about it at all. No. He just laughed about it. You know, this conversation, we hate to address it because it's a pointless conversation, but it is something that was going viral, and it's something that needs to be nipped in the bud.
Going viral?
Easy, Shaq. I mean, not, you know, just because you didn't put it out there doesn't mean it can't get some traction on social media. It is amazing to the point where Dwayne Wade actually reached out to Chris Bosh. All it was in this office at 8:30. I even told Teek on Monday morning, I said, I had a little hangover from the night before. I had a couple beers. I let my wife sleep in. I barely had a sip of coffee. And, you know, how I tweet is when something enters my mind, you know, I have my filters, clearly. I never curse. I don't use off-color language. And I trust my sports instincts and everything else. So I knew what I put out there made a ton of sense to me. And quite frankly, I don't give a rat's behind if it doesn't make sense to anybody else. All I care about is if you're going to bring my name into a segment, can you please talk about what I actually wrote? Can you do that FS1? Because you didn't do it. Whatever that show is, First Things First. I like Nick, but that show, they talked about it, but they didn't actually use what I said or what I wrote. TNT, if you're going to throw my name around, represent my point. And anybody else that wants to talk about this, I don't care if you disagree times a gazillion. Just debate the premise. That's all I'm asking for.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. Yes. And also, don't drink and tweet.
Well, like, to be fair, it was only a couple beers the night before. But yes, drinking and tweeting in real time is definitely not advisable. But, I mean, here we are. I mean, you got Dwayne Wade calling Chris Bosh about my tweet. What's going on with this? It's crazy. It's lunacy. All right, coming up, Wally Szczerbiak. We got Wally, CBS Sports basketball analyst on the college side, also does stuff for the Knicks on MSG. We'll talk a little hoops coming up next with Wally, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. It's almost time before you know it. Actually, next week, there will only be about 1,000 people or so at the Garden, but I'll be there for the Big East tournament. Tiki's getting ready for his Cavs in the ACC tournament, and before you know it, it's Election Sunday. So, between that and maybe an NBA item or two, let's hook up with a guy. We haven't had him on the show in a long time. I don't think we had him on once during the maybe once early during the pandemic. It's been close to a year, which is ridiculous because he's very good and he's very cool as well. CBS Sports hoops analyst, does a lot of college stuff. He does the Knicks for MSG. Wally Szczerbiak, former sharpshooter, Miami of Ohio, first round pick. What up, Wal? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, dude? Man, this is a crazy college season, obviously. You know, has it gone better? Maybe a good jumping off point with you since we haven't spoken in so long. Has it gone better than you thought it would? I would imagine that the answer would be yes. But for you, your expectations coming into the season versus what we've gotten so far, better or comparable?
I think it's been great. Honestly, it's been such a trying year for everyone. I just think for these athletes to be put through what they've been put through on campus, when they came to campus, they pretty much couldn't live a normal life. You know, they couldn't go out to see their friends. They couldn't go, you know, to different dorm rooms and different places in town and stuff like that. They were kind of asked to just quarantine pretty much all season with their team and also do, you know, school virtually. So that's not easy at all. And I give these kids a lot of credit. You know, they kind of hunkered down. They came together as teams and, you know, they pulled it off. You know, obviously there's been some hiccups and I think the protocols have done a great job keeping everyone safe because that's the goal. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's up to these players to keep everyone around them safe, you know, who could possibly be at risk, even if they're, you know, probably going to be okay if they contract the virus. So, you know, I'm just excited for March Madness. I'm excited for the tournament. I'm confident in the NCAA's ability to pull it off in a bubble type situation, and I can't wait to get it going.
Yeah, no, and Wally, the thing that you start thinking about is, could this be the first time in a really long time that one of the traditionals, I won't call them blue buds, but traditionals aren't winning this thing because it's all about matchups and these matchups could be compromised, to be honest with you. We know that the NCAA has contingency plans. Could you expect something out of the blue happening this year?
It's possible. You know, they have that contingency plan where the first four teams out, they're kind of stacked 1-4, and if, say, a number one seed goes down like a Gonzaga or like a Baylor and they can't participate in the tournament, then one of those first four out teams, I think they become a number one seed. You know, they get slotted into the bracket. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. You know, they're doing everything possible that it doesn't. You know, they're getting the teams there early. They're going to make sure they have a bunch of negative tests before they even set foot on the floor and stuff like that. But, you know, you never know with this situation. As you know, we've been throwing curveballs all year long. So hopefully the NCAA is ready for them, and hopefully, we don't get thrown another one.
Wally, were you surprised when Jim Boeheim weighed in and went so deeply into the waters of Duke's program? We talked about that on our show. I thought it was a really, really poor look for Coach. Even if he's right, they and the record backs that up, they are better without Johnson. But I thought that was I thought that was bad taste for a guy who's been around so for any coach. But I mean, the old adage is worry about your own backyard, not somebody else's. I didn't like that from Coach Boeheim.
Yeah, that's fair. As you know, Coach Boeheim and Coach Krzyzewski are very, very, very close.
Yep.
You know, they've known each other for a long time. I've known those two through USA Basketball. Coach Boeheim was a huge influence in me when I won two gold medals, you know, in the Goodwill Games back when I was playing. So I've had great relationships with those guys. I think, you know, I'm with you. You know, I just think, but at the same time, you know, he weighed in on his opinion, and the numbers at the time certainly said, you know, as a team, you know, they were playing better basketball with Jalen Johnson not in the lineup. You know, that was just a crazy situation and scenario. It's not something I would have done as a player. You know, I would have tried to just do everything and everything to fight through the adversity and finish my, you know, basketball season for the sake of my teammates. But I completely understand Jalen Johnson's decision. You know, he's got a lot on the line. He's got a career waiting possibly in the NBA, and he's got a lot of money guaranteed for a couple of years, you know, on the table. So everyone has to make their own decisions, and I completely am fine with that. And at the same time in sports, we all weigh in on it. I mean, we weigh in on it. We have opinions on everything. So as a coach, you can go up there and you can make an opinion on, you know, a guy who got fired, a guy who got hired.
Yeah.
And a lot of times coaches are behind coaches that get hired. And, you know, they're bashing whoever fired a certain coach. So it's kind of no different, I think, in that situation, although it is kids. You know, it's not in amateurs. It's not professionals. But at the same time, you know, I'm fine with Coach Boeheim weighing in on that.
Yeah, I know. It was interesting, and I think our instinct was the same. He's speaking the words that Coach K can't actually say himself.
Yeah.
Let me jump to the SEC for a minute here, Wally. I mean, we're used to the traditionals there, Kentucky and even Auburn. But this year, Alabama and Coach Oates have done an amazing job. And if you've seen them play, you know how athletic they play and how out of the blue this feels. We think Alabama, SEC, we're thinking football. How did they get so profound, top of the conference, and well-suited to go into the NCAA tournament so quickly, or at least it feels quickly?
No, they're an exciting team. I love that team. I'm with you, TC. Like, that's one of my favorite teams in the country. I love the way they play. They play fast. They shoot threes. And it happened because of Avery Johnson, quite honestly. And it also happened because Nate Oates is a tremendous coach. Came from Buffalo, my old conference, the Mid-American Conference, made a bunch of NCAA tournaments, beat Arizona in the first round.
Yeah.
So he knows how to coach. But those players were Avery's recruits. I mean, they were a year where, you know, they had Colin Sexton, who's now playing great in the NBA with the Cavaliers, and then Petty and Herb Jones Jr. I saw them when they were freshmen down in a game at in Annapolis when Navy was playing in the Veterans Classic, and I saw those guys as freshmen. I was like, wait a second. Colin's not the only NBA player on this team.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, this Petty, John Petty, he can shoot. He's a great athlete. He's a great defender, perfect 3-and-D type guy, and Herb Jones the same. But now these guys have gotten, you know, gained experience through the SEC 4 years, and now they're being coached by a great coach who took over the program and has the program in a great place. And then you add a couple other pieces here and there, and voila, you know, in a down year in college basketball where Kentucky's not the same, you know, they're the cream of the crop along with Arkansas. You know, Coach Musselman is also doing a great job with Arkansas in the SEC.
Yep,
he's got them rolling. So those are the two teams to beat in that league, and those teams have a lot of chance to do a lot of damage in the tournament.
We're talking to Wally Szczerbiak, CBS Sports basketball analyst, Tiki and Tierney. So we're not going to see him in the tournament, which is a shame, but, you know, I've seen certainly a lot of highlights. I've caught a few games live. Cade Cunningham, I mean, give me a pro comp. Who do you see when you see him play?
Ooh, I love these, too. I haven't thought about that yet. Wow.
Wow.
Let me think about this.
Stumped
one
you.
Second. Hold
All right,
God,
take
on.
Your time, Wally.
I mean, he's got those point guard skills.
Uh-huh.
He's just so fluid, can shoot it.
Uh-huh.
And what I love about him, too, is he's just so smart. And you can see the interaction he has with his teammates. He just really is a student of the game. Like,
mm-hmm.
he's trying to get his teammates engaged. He's trying to keep the team positive. Let's see. There's a big guard out there that does that.
Yeah, because he's big. I mean, he's 6'8".
I mean, that's the thing. Bradley Beal. That's it.
Bradley Beal. But Beal's only 6'3".
He's bigger.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I know, he's bigger, but Beal plays both guards. You know,
okay.
He can play the one, he can play the two. He's
uh-huh.
a great outside shooter, great decision maker. I don't think Cade is as good of an outside shooter. Beal's just, you know, like Ray Allen reincarnated with his jumper, and he's just unbelievable. I love his game.
Yep.
Kind of wish the Knicks would get him.
So do
honestly,
I.
But
so do I.
But, you know, he's got that type of smoothness to his game. He really does. So
yeah, okay.
I would say a little bit taller version of Bradley Beal.
Yeah, okay. No, it's an interesting one. Let me jump over to the NBA real quick. And obviously you're local here doing Knicks, but the Nets are interesting. And we've talked about the season on our show often, how well James Harden is playing and how he's become the catalyst for that team. But they've been missing KD. Kevin Durant's been out with that hamstring injury. Kyrie Irving is intermittently in and out of the lineup. And so we haven't seen this big three together very often. I think it's only like seven, maybe nine games that they played together so far this year. We saw this last year with the Clippers, like all this expectation. You got Paul George, you got Kawhi, but they didn't put the lineup on the court enough. And when they got to the postseason, we saw it falter. Is that a danger in with the Nets, or are these three guys, once they ultimately get together, just too good to fall short?
It's a danger. You know, you can't underestimate the importance of chemistry. I really firmly believe that. At the same time, what's almost a little bit more, I would say, as important as chemistry is health.
Mm-hmm.
So right now they have the luxury where James Harden is one of the most durable players in our era. So he can carry the team with tremendous shooting around him, by the way. I mean, Joe Harris and company, they put together a nice roster around those guys with the three-point shooters that they have. I think the goal is to keep Kyrie healthy and to keep Kevin Durant healthy come playoff time. I mean, if that team is healthy and those guys have no injuries and they're playing at 100%, my faith would be in Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni and company on that staff to figure out how to make things work. So I think that's the number one goal, is to make sure they're healthy. But at the same time, it's tough to just piece it together when teams haven't really had those games and been in the wars together and been down 3-2, you know, going to your opponents, you know, going to Philly's, you know, home court for game six, you're down 3-2, like, you find out what you're really made of as a player.
Yeah.
And until you've been in that situation, you never really know how you're going to respond. And we saw it in the bubble, like you said, like you mentioned with the Clippers last year, they just fell apart mentally.
Yep.
And one of the best coaches in the history of, you know, basketball, Doc Rivers, couldn't get him on track. So, you know, I would feel a little more confident if Kevin was kind of playing, but I think they need to get him healthy and get him right. And then the second half of the year, you know, they're going to start figuring things out. But the schedule is going to be tough. I mean, there's a ton of games in a short amount of time, and those guys are no spring chickens anymore. So keeping them healthy is the number one goal, I would think, for that coaching staff and that franchise.
30 seconds before I let you go. You do the Knicks locally. Teak said that before, as did I. Listen, I think that as great as Randall's been, and he's been terrific, I think the biggest thing of import for the Knicks this year is that they've shown signs to the rest of the NBA world that they're far from toxic, which eventually could lead to players wanting to come here for the first time ever outside of Amari and Carmelo. But I look at Randall, right? And I don't know how the Knicks don't extend him long term. He's in his prime. He's in great shape. He's a great teammate. He's got a high IQ. He's gotten demonstrably better. He's efficient. How is Julius Randle not a Knick until he's 31, 32? Like, how does that not happen?
No, I'm with you. You know, he's got another year on the as a team option, so I think you pick up that. Or you reward him, you know, just for a little bit more money on the back end. We'll see what they do. But, you know, it's a no-brainer. I mean, he's just doing things that I never thought he was ever going to do in the NBA. His three-point shooting has been off the chart.
Yeah.
It's been tremendous. And now the culture is good. The vibe is good. And you have one of the most networked, you know, first people running the team in Leon Rose.
That's
so
right.
He's going to attract free agents, and they'll always payroll in the league, so they have room to sign the right. But you got to sign the right guys. That's the key. Get the right guys in here, and the Knicks will be back as a championship contender.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun. A lot of time to talk about that if and when it happens, and we're certainly hoping that it's when, not if. Wild, great stuff. We got to bounce. Good having you back on, buddy. Thank you.
You got it. Sounds good. Take it easy, guys. See you later.
Good, Wally. All right. See you soon.
Wally Szczerbiak, former NBA All-Star sharpshooter, first-round pick back of the day, CBS Sports basketball analyst. Update from Erica Herskowitz. Teak and I will come back, and we'll get the blast after Hersky's update, which is right now. All right. We're going to get to the blast here. Teak and Tierney first up, though. Let us answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. Yeah. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And today's question coming in from David, who's in New Jersey, and David wants to know, who does Jokic remind you most of from NBA history? Wow.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I mean,
big man who can shoot.
Of all the great bigs, I mean, guys that we saw play, the Shaqs, the Hakeems, the Robinsons, the Ewings, there's no player comps there, obviously.
No, so you'd have to go back from guys we didn't see play.
I got one for you. I don't love it. I don't love it. But Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
You know, not an elite athlete, not above the rim, efficient.
But like,
go, David, I'm going to go with him.
And like, his structure is solid. His fundamentals are sound.
Yep.
That's a good one.
I'll go with Timmy D. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people are at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, that went a little late with Wally, so we'll get to the blast. You ready, Teak?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Teaky and Tierney.
All right, so yesterday the Vikings released our buddy Kyle Rudolph from Notre Dame's been on the show a ton, 10 seasons in Minnesota. Now the move saves the Vikes right around $5 million in salary cap for 2021. He's 31 years of age. Can he still be a productive tight end?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is who were we talking about early in the show? It slipped my mind now.
Tight end?
No, just a cap casualty. Oh,
Tyrell Williams from the Raiders.
Yeah, that and Kyle Van Noy. This is really what this is about in a sense. I think they still have great reference for Kyle. It's just when you start to get towards the end, your cap number is too high, especially in a year like this is.
Yep.
You got to move on. But I do still think he has not a ton of years left, but he does have some in the tank and will be valuable to some organization because he's a great leader and he's a great dude.
I would agree on both. I can see him fitting in pretty seamlessly with what the Bills do.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of teams where, again, he's a good blocker. He's a willing blocker and he's a good blocker. And he was never like an 80-catch tight end, but he was always good red zone threat, good first down guy. I mean, even if he catches you know, a few opportunistic passes that move the sticks and one or two key touchdowns. He'd be an asset for a team that's trying to win. So, yes, but it's got to be the right fit. And he's got to be your number two tight end. Ideally, you have somebody that's got some wiggle. All right, last night, John Morant joined Mike Conley and Jason Williams. A little white chocolate there, little J. Will. As the only players in Grizzlies franchise history to have a game of at least 35 points and 10 assists. 35 and 10. So while his points and PR have increased slightly from a year ago, his rebounds are down. And his three-point shooting has dropped a little bit from 34 to 23%. Are we disappointed? That's a big 23% is ugly. Yeah. Yikes. Are you disappointed that Morant hasn't taken a larger step forward this year? He was also hurt, keep in mind. He hurt his ankle, and he hurt it badly. And he came back a lot earlier than anybody thought he would come back. Now, the residue from that, he's a burst guy. We know that, and he still seems to have that burst, but the elevation on the jump shot, has it reeled him in a bit? I would think so. John Morant is on the superstar path. So,
oh, no doubt.
I know there's been a bit of a step back this year. It's also a quirky season, a late start. He was hurt. I'm all in on Morant. I love him. I'm not worried.
I still think he's got to learn how to take care of himself and get stronger and healthier. Not dissimilar to the conversation we had about Trae Young yesterday, BT. No. He's a little bit better, all around than Trae Young is. But disappointed, I think, would be heavy on a young kid. It's only, you know, he's still so young and he's growing. And it's going to come, but it's just going to take some time because he's got to fill out still.
All right. Before last night's game, Hawks interim head coach Nate McMillan. We like Nate. Nate's got a nice little resume. A lot of first-round ousters, but a lot of playoff teams. Admitted to the media that he wasn't initially interested in taking over the Hawks job when Pierce offered it to him, and that really Pierce had to kind of convince McMillan to take it. So what are our thoughts on McMillan needing to be convinced to take the interim job?
This was interesting. And I think a lot of this, BT, was just out of loyalty to Lloyd Pierce. But there's also because we talked about this also with the Hawks, they've had tons of injuries, and as good as Trae Young has been, he is a sieve on defense, man. He is bad.
Yes.
And so when your best player is only, you know, giving it all on one side of the court because you don't even try on the defensive end, it could be daunting, and you're not fixing that in the season. And so, you know, what does this look like on his record if he goes there and they just abjectly fall apart? Is it worrisome? Not worrisome, really. I understand his thoughts from a loyalty standpoint and from a Atlanta Hawks aren't ready right now.
No.
But if he gets this thing pointed in the right direction, it'll do wonders, I think, for his career as well.
Well, it's off to the right start. I mean, what's plagued them more than anything has been fourth quarter woes. And last night they were, I think, plus 20 points, whatever it was, at a great fourth quarter, and they won. So what's my thoughts on him needing to be convinced? I think it is exclusively based on the friendship. I don't think it has anything to do with the way he compartmentalizes the trajectory or projections of his career or perception of him as a coach. Let's face it. If Lloyd Pierce didn't get fired, I'm not saying that nobody would call Nate McMillan next season, but nobody's knocking down Nate McMillan's door.
He's not top of the list.
No, he's not even close to top of the list at this point, even though I know he's a great NBA man. I think he's a good coach. Not much more than good, but certainly good. He's competent. If anything, this could, you know, spark up a different kind of conversation, like an elevation that might get him higher on somebody's priority list here. I think it was all about him not wanting to look as if he was betraying his friend Lloyd Pierce, and I respect that. That's cool. All right, Shaka Smart, blowout win over Iowa State last night. Longhorns, Texas, 15-7. And they're about time, Shaka.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Shaka, Shaka, Shaka. We always have to do that.
I know.
Projected 4 seed in the tournament. All right, so how deep of a run does Texas need to make in the tournament for Shaka to silence the critics? Well, now here comes the other end of the equation. There's been a lot of, you know, first round ousters, but now if you're seated in that fourth slot, or maybe even higher, depending upon what happens in the Big 12 tournament, where they obviously have some upward mobility if they win it, you know, now it's like, well, if you get dumped out prematurely, now as a higher seed, now it's almost a worse conversation.
Yeah,
I think he's got to win minimally a game And then see what happens in round two. But he's going to have to win a game.
Yeah.
Eventually he's going to have to win a couple.
I think he's got to get to 16. This is not to save his job, but just to, like, feel confident that he's, you know, got the program going where it's supposed to be. Because we had this conversation a year, maybe 2 years ago, and it was like, I know it's only been a short tenure, but was this a mistake? Mm-hmm. And we chalked it up to, well, he hasn't gotten his recruits yet. He hasn't filled a team yet. He's done that now. And so these guys got to be playing like he wants to play with his mindset and philosophies and go far, because he's supposed to be one of the greats. That's why they hired him, and he hadn't lived up to that yet.
He has not. That is indisputable. When they brought him there, it was supposed to be a home run,
yep.
And it has not been. It's barely a solid double, really.
That's right.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
You learn something every day. I didn't know this. I read it this morning. I guess it was this morning. Where did you know that they implemented, I think it's very wise actually, they implemented a mercy rule in spring training baseball?
I did not know that till I saw the Garrett Cole thing the other day. I had no idea. I think it's amazing.
It's
but it's
great.
Just per inning.
Yes. Right? Pertaining to pitch count.
Yes.
Pertaining to pitch count. Like if I think it's either 23 or 20, it's in the 20s, but if a pitcher exceeds that benchmark in an inning, the team has the ability to just basically wipe the bases out, because they basically want guys to pitch from the windup, pitch from the stretch, and not get too bogged down, because early on, these guys are pretty much throwing fastball. They're not even trying to locate, so they're getting hit around a little bit.
Was it Garrett Cole? Smart. Was it Garrett Cole or was it Garrett Richards?
It was Garrett Richards, but Garrett Cole pitched the other day. Didn't pitch particularly well.
Yeah.
But he left a few guys on. Yeah, no, I was
then,
watching.
But
the
then Richards mercied rolled, and then in the next inning, second inning, he got he's 1-2-3.
1-2-3. Man, that's smart. There
that's
you go.
Great. Smart. It is smart. It really
All
is.
Right. Got to protect those high commodity arms. Teak, have a good Wednesday night, man.
You too, brother.
I appreciate it. Everybody else out there, you guys do the same. Enjoy the hoops tonight. Safe, sensible, and sane. Have a great Wednesday. Teak and I'll catch you tomorrow on a Thursday. Peace. Gotta go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.